You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Well, here we are. All comes down to this. I mean, it all sort of came down to this last week against the Buffalo Bills, but now, this time, for real, because in spite of everything, in spite of all the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the goods, the bads, everything, everything goes out the window. The statistics, the win-loss records, everything goes out the window now. Because now it's about winning the game in front of you and moving on to the next round, or winning the game or losing the game in front of you and going home and starting your off season. This Saturday night, live on Peacock, Miami Dolphins at Kansas City Chiefs. It's the wild card round. It's super wild card weekend. And your Miami Dolphins, in spite of everything, are still one of the final 14 teams eligible to perhaps hoist the Lombardi Trophy. So, Brain, how you doing?
Well, I myself am recovering from COVID, and much like myself, I feel like the Dolphins are coughing and wheezing their way to the finish line of this season.
That's a good way to put it, because they are certainly beat up, battered, and bruised, and it sounds like they might be in slightly worse shape than most of us thought they would be coming into this game just a few days ago. And so this is a team that is in rough shape. And with all that said, they're still here, and they've got a chance because that's why they play the games. It's going to be cold. I read that it's going to be 0 degrees. At kickoff on Saturday night, and there's going to be a wind chill of negative 13 degrees. They said this has the possibility of being one of the coldest games in the history of the NFL when all is said and done. And that's pretty brutal to think about. But hey, both teams have to play in it. Playing in cold like that is something that nobody can prepare for. Like, there's no amount of preparation that is going to have you ready for that, I wouldn't think. So I don't know that there is a distinct advantage one way or the other in terms of the weather, but regardless, it's playoff time, and we're going to talk about it here today on the Same Old Dolphin Show. But before we go any further, a reminder to all of you, if you're not doing so already, make sure you are following us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I am at Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. You can download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. And we appreciate it if you would take a moment to do that. We'd also appreciate it if you'd take a moment to like this video right now on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, or if you're watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, we appreciate that very much. And shout out to everybody who is also listening on demand in podcast form. We appreciate every single one of you who've been along for the ride this entire season with us. Thank you for that. And of course, make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It's your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. Brain, let's get into this game here. Let's start here. because I think this is, it's important to know what we're looking at here. So I think it's important to talk about what's at stake in this game. Obviously, you know, literally what is at stake is a spot in the divisional round. The Dolphins would travel to, most likely travel to Baltimore if they were to win this game, unless the Dolphins win and Pittsburgh also defeats Buffalo. And if that happens, the Dolphins would travel to the winner of Houston versus Cleveland, which obviously a much softer landing spot. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. We've got a game to play on Saturday. But Brain, what is it? What is really at stake in this game for you? I mean, I think pretty much all, not all Dolphin fans, but a lot of Dolphin fans basically said the goal this year has to be to finally win a playoff game. And in spite of everything, they're still in with a chance to do that. And if they do that, that is a big step forward, even if it's against a Chiefs team that is, you know, a little discombobulated right now. But all that being said, it would still be a playoff win. It would still be their first playoff win since 2001. That's a significant step forward. Some people might ask, because this is the same old Dolphin show, if a win means these aren't the same old Dolphins, what would your answer to that question be?
No.
Do you care to elaborate on that?
Well, when we say the same old Dolphins, we're talking about the same old Dolphins for about 30 years. So it's not as if we haven't seen this team win a playoff game. They won some playoff games towards the end of Marino's career. They won some playoff games with Jay Fiedler at quarterback. Granted, they haven't had very much success over the last 20 years, so winning a playoff game would be a huge step in the right direction. But the thing is that really since the late 90s, early 2000s, basically going back to like the 62-7 shellacking in Dan Marino's last game, that's basically been what the Dolphins have been. Their high water mark has been winning a playoff game and then getting absolutely destroyed in the second round. So I do think that contextually there is some difference this year if the Dolphins do end up going to Kansas City and winning in spite of all of the injuries that they are facing and all of the adversity. Even if they were to go win and then get their doors blown in by Baltimore, it would feel a little different than those teams with Fiedler or at the end of the Marino years where they went into the playoffs with actual expectations that they might be able to make a deep run and they injuries weren't really a factor. So from that standpoint, yeah, there's a little bit of a difference, but that said, you go out, I'm not saying that Kansas City is not a good team. I'm not saying that I expect the Dolphins to win this game. What I'm saying is that Kansas City has limped into the playoffs about as much as the Dolphins have limped into the playoffs. So beating Kansas City, while it would be a huge step for this team and this franchise to win a playoff game and win a playoff game on the road, and I think I was probably going to save this for the end. I think realistically, granted, if Pittsburgh beats Buffalo and the Dolphins beat Kansas City, all of a sudden, all bets are off because the AFC becomes wide open because Baltimore, well, let me rephrase that. We wouldn't have to go to Baltimore in the second round. Baltimore would still be the, you know, by far the team, far and away the team to beat. But by not having to play them, now all of a sudden you have a very, you know, foreseeable path to the AFC championship game. But realistically, if Buffalo does what they're expected to do and beat Pittsburgh, and I believe that they're going to do that, I believe Buffalo is a really good team. I think Dolphins fans are kind of deluding themselves because they're because of the rivalry and because they want so badly for Buffalo to lose that they're thinking that Buffalo isn't really that good, which at the same time kind of takes away from how good you think the Dolphins are. Because if you think Buffalo isn't that good, well, that's the team that, you know, basically just took the division from you. But I do think Buffalo is good. And so I digress. I think realistically, this is kind of the Super Bowl for this team. I think this is the most we can hope for, is winning a playoff game. And so I think that's what's at stake, because I think if you lose this game, we could talk about if you win this game, how great it feels. And then, you know, even if you get your door, you get your doors blown in. So what does it really mean? But really what you have to look at is what happens if we lose this game. If we lose this game, you know, that narrative that everybody's heard all season and as Dolphins fans we're sick of, but then we've kind of come to realize that it's really, you know, a fitting narrative about how the Dolphins can't beat good teams. And, you know, their one game that they're hanging their hat on is a win against Dallas, but they can't beat good teams on the road. Well, if you lose this game, you're going to hear it all off season and you're going to hear it all year next year until they prove it.
Yeah. If they lose this game, that narrative is locked in until December 2024 at the earliest.
And that's not all, because it's not just the team. It's the coach. It's the quarterback. It's the star players. It's the GM. It's everybody that can be blamed is going to get blamed. And that's going to be the story for the whole offseason. The other thing that's at stake is there are major decisions that this organization has to make financially after this season ends, with whether or not they're going to extend their quarterback, whether or not they're going to extend their star defensive tackle, which players are going to have to be let go, which offensive linemen are going to need to be re-signed, which edge rushers are going to need to be re-signed. There's a lot of big time financial decisions that this team has to make this offseason. And this is quite possibly the last chance that a lot of players are going to get to state their case as to why they should be brought back on this team as this team tries to build towards hopefully winning a championship. So I think there's a lot at stake. Obviously, the main thing at stake is, can this team finally win a playoff game for the first time since January of 2001? And then, you know, we'll take it from there.
Yeah, long way to go for this team. But yes, haven't won a road playoff game since 1999 when they beat the Seahawks. The last team the Dolphins beat on the road in the playoffs isn't even in the AFC anymore. So
Dan Marino's last win.
Yeah, it was Dan Marino's last win. And then they followed that up with a 62-7 loss at Jacksonville. Yikes, which I'm sure many of us remember. But I think you hit the nail on the head as far as what else is at stake for this Dolphins team. That narrative is going to stick for a year. Here's the other thing that I think is going to be really interesting, and it's going to make a lot of Dolphin fans mad, because I think it is more likely than not that Tua Tagovailoa is going to get a contract extension this offseason. I think it's a pretty nailed on possibility. And if he goes out there and he has another stinker in this game in Kansas City, which I'm going to say is more likely than not, again, because the way weather's going to be bad, it's going to be windy, and, you know, quite frankly, you know, Tua hasn't shown us, with the exception of like the Buffalo game at Buffalo last year, late in the season, where he had a pretty good game. For the most part, this is a guy that, you know, comes up small in these games, and this is another one of those opportunities. And if he comes up small again in this game and then goes on and gets his extension in the offseason, the conversation isn't going to be like, wow, what a great deal for the Dolphins. Wow, they did this. The entire conversation is, did the Dolphins just overpay for this quarterback who hasn't accomplished anything? is essentially what the narrative is going to be. And you'll get people holding up all of the statistics from this season and all the step forward that he made. And you know, and that's fine. That's a perfectly valid argument. But there's also a perfectly value counter argument, which is despite all of his statistical prowess and all of his ability to cook the, you know, lesser teams in the NFL this year, when the chips have been down, for the most part, this is a guy who has not come up big. And so that's something else that's on the line in this game. Because, listen, if he goes out there and he has a great game and the Dolphins fall a little short, fine, so be it. But if he goes out there and he has a game similar to how he played in the second half of against Buffalo in Week 18, you're going to hear it. And you're going to hear it all offseason. You're going to hear it all regular season. And it's one of those things that regular season games in September and October are not going to silence. It's the thing that we say. It's the same thing that we say about to everybody who tells us not to call the show the same old Dolphin show anymore, is that you don't, those rumors, those narratives, that doesn't get killed in September and October. Same old Dolphins is something that you can kill at the end of the season, because we've seen so many Dolphins teams over the years be great at the beginning of the year, only to fold down the stretch. And that's what we're kind of in the middle of this year. I think it's also worth saying, if the Dolphins lose this game, they will have finished the season losing four of their final six games. And you can blame injuries all you want, but that's two straight years that Mike McDaniel has overseen a late season collapse. And I will call it that, and I will not feel bad about it. Because this team was in a position where, frankly, losing the AFC East is really not acceptable. And if they are to now go out and lose this game to Kansas City, that's a 2-4 finish to your 2023 season. And that ain't great. Brand, anything else about the stakes that you want to add before we dive into how the Dolphins can hopefully win this game?
I just want, like, should we give our opinion, or are we just going to say what's at stake? Because I feel like it's so loaded to just say, you know, what's at stake here is if Tua plays poorly, there's going to be a lot of people saying that he doesn't deserve an extension. Do you believe he deserves an extension? Like, if you were Chris
Greer. Do I believe? I mean, yeah. I mean,
if you were Chris Greer and Tua goes out and he plays exactly the way he played last week, are you giving him an extension?
I don't think there is any way on God's green earth that Tua goes into this offseason and doesn't get an extension, or that the Dolphins aren't actively negotiating trying to sign him to an extension. The only way that, I mean, I guess there's a possibility that he could, I mean, they've exercised his fifth year option, so he's here next year. I guess the only way he is not signing a deal is if the two sides simply cannot agree on the money. And I will say that if the two sides can't agree on the money, then that is in likelihood means that Chris Greer is playing hardball. And that's something that I would agree with potentially, because I don't agree with making Tua one of the most highest paid players in the NFL. Like, he's going to get a big contract. He's going to get, do I agree that this is a $50 million a year player? I don't know that I agree that he deserves that much, but he certainly does deserve an extension of some sort, particularly because extending him is going to be key to opening up the salary cap for everybody else, because otherwise he's a $25 million cap hit next year. So you have to sign him to some sort of deal, because otherwise you're taking a huge hit and you can't build the rest of your roster for 2024 and beyond. So, I mean, the odds of him, this is why I say the odds of him not having some sort of agreement in place by the start of next year, I think are very unlikely.
And I agree, and mainly because of that last point. And so you mentioned, you know, part of where the Dolphins have leverage is that, well, Tua is under contract. So if they don't give him a contract extension, he's still under contract. But I ask you, who really has the leverage in that situation? Because the Dolphins have him under contract, but the Dolphins have put themselves in a salary cap situation where they need the cap relief if they want to win next year. And you better believe that Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel are going to be thinking at least a little bit about their jobs if they have to make serious cuts on this roster because they have to pay a $23 million cap hit to Tua Tagovailoa next year. So they have to, they kind of know that they have to extend him. And if you have to extend him, then like you can argue till you're blue in the face about how you don't want to pay Tua a massive extension. But when you look at the other guys that are getting massive extensions and you compare them to Tua, Tua has better numbers and those guys don't have the playoff wins to back it up either. You're going to compare him to Justin Herbert? You're going to compare him to Dak Prescott?
Yeah, you're going to compare him to Jared Goff? The thing that sucks is that you had these other people that made these big investments in these guys.
I mean, he's got to get at least Danny Nichols money.
Yeah.
Shout out to our guys at Go Time Dolphins.
Yeah.
He's got to get at least Daniel Jones money. So, like, you're going to pay him.
Yeah, like, of course you're going to pay him.
You're going to pay him.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know that there's a whole lot at stake for Tua. Maybe like some guaranteed money. Maybe like $10, $15 million of guaranteed money that, you know, guarantees like the second or third year of his contract. But they're going to extend him. So get used to it, guys.
But I think I saw somebody saying, look what happened with Jones. They signed him this big thing. I think the difference is with Tua in his extension, there's going to be a lot of outs for the Dolphins in this contract. And there's going to have to be. Because while he did play this 1 year, and he has stayed healthy all this year, which is big and important. And that's probably that's a large part of why he's going to get this contract. The Dolphins would be absolute fools. Chris Greer would be an absolute fool not to protect himself in this contract in some way to protect against, you know, serious injuries to Tua, because Tua has shown that he's an injury prone player. We'll dive deeper into that specific conversation as we get into the offseason, because we're going to have time for it. But all of that to say, you know, Tua kind of needs to perform on Saturday, even though it's going to be pretty rough conditions for him to perform in.
But Brian, I agree. Tua has to step up big. And the other thing to keep in mind, which should help Tua show up big, granted, you know, not optimal playing conditions, but this should be the healthiest the offense has been.
Yeah, in a long time.
Since about the Philadelphia game.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be important. And let's just dive into it here. Because I think that while the Chiefs' offense has been out of sorts, the Dolphins' defense is so beat up. We know they've signed Justin Houston, Bruce Irvin, Malik Reed, brought these guys in. You know, some extra pass rush support. And when Vic Fangio was asked about it, he said, great, we need the bodies. And he got some bodies. Those guys are new. They're probably going to cycle in and out of the game, and you're going to get what you can get out of them. The other thing that I think is even more important in this game is that it is beginning to sound like we may not have Javon Holland or Deshaun Elliott in this game. Neither of them were practicing because of, Holland, his MCL issue crept back up, and I guess he was in limited action against Buffalo, and now he's hurting again, and Deshaun Elliott injured his calf right before the Buffalo game, and Mike McDaniel said he's not going to have any practice reps this week in order to hopefully let him be in the training room and hopefully have him out there for this game on Saturday. This team is so beat up. It's a short week, and they've got to find a way defensively to stop the Kansas City Chiefs. And while the Kansas City Chiefs offense isn't what it used to be, this defense is so beat up that it's hard to think that they're going to be able to stop Kansas City for the whole game. So that really does put the pressure on the Dolphins offense. This is the Dolphins offense that scored 14 points against the Chiefs the first time around, all in the second half of that game against Kansas City in Germany. And now, as you mentioned, it looks like they're going to be as healthy as they've been. They've got Rob Hunt, Rob Jones, Liam Eichenberg at center, Teron Armstead, and Austin Jackson. Everybody's going to be good to go. It sounds like we're going to get Raheem Mostert back, although he and Waddle remain questionable. And Mike McDaniel on Friday or Thursday said that it is going to go down to the wire to determine whether or not those guys are back. Omar Kelly, and take this for what it's worth, Omar Kelly, in the open portion of practice today, said that he watched Jaylen Waddle very closely and said that he would be surprised if Jaylen Waddle played on Saturday night. And the thinking behind that is, are you going to activate Jaylen Waddle if he is going to be limited and runs the risk of re-aggravating his injury and then not being able to play? It's basically weighing his roster, you know, using a roster spot on him or using that 53rd roster spot on activating Malik Reed from the practice squad. And what's going to be more important for the Dolphins seems to be the question. But let's say, just for the sake of argument, that Mostert and Waddle are back in there. Then this is the closest the Dolphins, I mean, frankly, if Mostert and Waddle play, the Dolphins are at their maximum capability for health in terms of, you know, the only players they'd be missing are Wynn and Connor Williams, who would have the long-term injuries. Otherwise, they'd have everybody back, all of their offensive weapons. And to me, Brain, the key in this game for the Miami Dolphins, based on how injured their defense is, I think this Miami Dolphins offense, in order to win this game, has to score 4 touchdowns on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
I think you got to get 4 touchdowns because I just don't know that. I think the Dolphins defense was almost at its peak health the first time they met. And that team held the Chiefs to 14 points offensively. They also got a fumble touchdown. And so I think that's what's going to be required. I think in order to win this game, they're going to need this offense to really find a way to click. And if the weather is going to be bad and the wind chill is going to be bad and they're not going to be able to throw the ball, then this offense is just going to need to grind it out on the ground. And they're going to have to use a combo of Mostert, Jeff Wilson, and Devon Achan in order to put the ball in the end zone 4 times to beat this Kansas City Chiefs team.
Well, yeah, I mean, so you heard it here first. Josh says take the over.
I'm not saying that's what you should. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm saying that's what the Dolphins need to do to win.
All right. Well, we'll check back at the end of the show.
Don't read between the lines, folks.
Look, I think if you're going to win the game, the offense needs to play well. I think you need to run the ball. I think the conditions dictate. It's hard to grip the ball when it's that cold. It's hard to catch the ball when it's that cold. I'll say, probably a little easier to catch Tua's ball than it is to catch Mahomes' ball when it's that cold. So take that for what it's worth. I don't know that you need to score 4 touchdowns because it's not like Kansas City is, you know, an offensive juggernaut. They haven't been all season and they certainly haven't been down the stretch. But we are beat up on defense. So you need the offense to pick up the slack. I think if you're going into this game, and you're saying you can either play a Jaylen Waddle at 70 to 80%, or you can elevate Malik Reed from the practice squad, it's a no-brainer because you're not holding Jaylen Waddle out to play next week. There's no tomorrow at this point. And if you're sitting there and you're saying, well, the offense needs to carry us this week, I don't need Jaylen Waddle to go out there and have a big game, but I need Jaylen Waddle out there so that the opposing defense has somebody else to respect on the opposite side of Tyreek Hill so that they're not just playing single high and putting 8 guys in the box and doubling Tyreek Hill. Because you want to run the ball? Well, what makes it a lot easier to run the ball is getting the opposing defense to not crowd the box. And they're going to have a harder time doing that if you've got Jaylen Waddle even at 70 to 80%. Because if Jaylen Waddle's not out there, they just aren't going to respect you. They're not going to respect Cedric Wilson. They're not going to respect, what's
Braxton
his face?
Berrios.
Chase Claypool. They're not going to, you know, respect River Craycraft. They're not going to respect any of these guys. And you know why? Because they don't have to. Because none of those guys are beating man coverage. So if Waddle doesn't play, they are putting themselves in a hole. And what? To elevate Malik Reed? Like, I know that you just, you know, signed Melvin Ingram a couple of weeks ago. And I know that you just brought in Bruce Irvin and Justin Houston. I get it. But like, you can't figure it out with what you got to have like a guy who wasn't even good enough to make this team's practice squad. Cause the guy was on the roster. They signed him this season and he wasn't good enough to make the roster. Like, we don't need the difference in this game. I can definitively say, and if I'm wrong on this, clip it and show it for eternity. But I'm pretty confident. I have the utmost confidence. I'm not going to waver on this. I know it sounds like I'm wavering, but I'm not going to waver on this. I am 100% confident. I guarantee you that the difference in the Dolphins winning and losing this game will not be Malik Reed. But it very well could be whether or not Jaylen Waddle plays.
I would agree with that because, like we said, if the Dolphins win this game, it's because the offense has led them to victory. I feel confident in saying that. I would gladly be wrong to have the Dolphins defense, as shorthanded as they are, stand up and force a bunch of turnovers and make a bunch of big stops. That would be incredible. I would love that. But I'm not counting on that, which is why I'm saying the most likely path to victory for the Dolphins is to find a way for this offense to put the ball in the end zone four times. And if you can do that, I feel pretty good about the possibility of coming out with a dub on Saturday night. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you gotta, like, the only way that I'm not playing Waddle is if the doctors are telling you that if he plays, there's a significant chance, you know, more so than the usual, that this becomes a serious injury that would require surgery, putting next season in jeopardy. But from everything that we've heard, it's a high ankle sprain, and that doesn't seem to be the case. It's just a matter of pain tolerance.
Yeah, you tape it up, you give him some Toradol, and you put him in there, and you say, good luck to you, sir. But I think the key to this game is going to be running the ball. That's going to be the key. The Chiefs, I think, have in all but one game this season have allowed the opposing team to rush for 100 yards. So I fully suspect that the Dolphins are going to need to run the ball. And quite frankly, the Dolphins should be running the ball, because the other key to this game is Mike McDaniel figuring out what's going to work for his team on offense and sticking to it and not letting the Chiefs dictate the terms of the game. He's got to figure out what's going to work for his offense and force the Chiefs to stop it. And once they've done that, then he can abandon the run and go to the pass or whatever. He's got to put a game plan together and he's got to stick to his guns regardless of what the other team puts out there. I think that's one of his big flaws right now, is that he is such a chess player out there that a lot of the time is going to let what the defense is doing, what the other team does, he lets that dictate how he's going to play on offense, which is why you see him get away from the run so often in second halves, because teams make the adjustment to block off the run. And they give him looks that he thinks with his unbeatable passing game is going to be something that he can exploit. And a lot of the time it results in bad things happening for the Dolphins. So I'm hopeful that he can stick to his guns and, you know, run the ball, just run the damn ball. And let that work, because you're going to have success doing it against this team, particularly if you have three healthy run, well, four healthy running backs with Chris Brooks as well. So, Brain, any thoughts, any other thoughts from you on what the Dolphins need to do on the offensive side of the ball in order to win this game?
I agree with you. I think far too much, and this has been a criticism that we've had of them all season. Like, even when things were, when they were at the highest of heights and they were the number one seed, we have said they're a little too finesse. And, you know, what's the definition of finesse? The definition of finesse is, we're going to let you dictate the terms. We'd rather run around you than run straight through you. And sometimes when you get to the end of the season, in this weather, in these environments against good defenses, sometimes you just got to take it. Sometimes you just got to run through the opponent. And I think this has the potential of being like, you know, sort of a breakthrough if they can do that. If they can say, you know, look, given everything, given injuries to Waddle, given conditions, we don't like our odds to really just drop back and throw the ball with everything that's happened. We're just going to try to play a physical game, and we're just going to try to out smash mouth you. And if it works, I think it has the chance to have a really lasting impression on this coaching staff and on this team moving forward. Now, does that necessarily mean anything going on through the rest of the postseason if they win? Well, that remains to be seen, but I think it's an important lesson that you'd like for them to learn at the very least before next season.
Well, we'll talk about what the Dolphins need to do on the other side of the ball in just a moment. But first, a reminder to you to make sure you go to calderalab.com and use the promo code DolphinsTalk so you can save a bunch of money, 20% in fact, on all of the wonderful products that they have to offer over there that are going to make you look young, rejuvenated, and fresh, fellas. It just takes a couple of minutes at the beginning of the day, a couple of minutes at the end of the day, and you're going to look refreshed and young and rejuvenated, and it's going to make you feel good. So calderalabs.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk to save 20% off of your order. Brain, defensive side of the ball. Oh boy. Well, last time around, I believe the last time they played the Chiefs was Jalen Ramsey's first game back.
And no, it was the Patriots game the week before.
Oh, it was the, okay. So he was there, but he was played that game. And he, and I think it was Holland basically locked down Travis Kelce in that game. He received for 14 yards. Since that game, Rashee Rice has come into his own as kind of the number one receiver for this Kansas City Chiefs team, giving them another receiving weapon. Additionally, they also have Isaiah Pacheco in the backfield. So we'll see a lot of Pacheco. We'll see a little bit of Clyde Edwards-Helaire in this game. We're not going to see Jerick McKinnon, who's out for the year. So my question is, Brain, how does this defense, as shorthanded as they are, who, knowing that they may be without both Javon Holland and Deshaun Elliott in the safety, you know, at safety, how does this Miami Dolphins defense stop the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, you hope those guys play, because if they don't, it hurts a lot. But the good thing is that the Chiefs are pretty bereft of weapons on the outside. They've got Kelce, and then they basically have Rashee Rice. I don't think anybody's really worried about Kadarius Toney or anybody else in that receiving core.
Justin Watson?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's really worried about those guys. I do think that, you know, Isaiah Pacheco can be a factor and Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of the backfield. But ultimately, you want to make those be the guys that beat you. You want to make the Chiefs have to go to options 3 and 4. So what I'm doing, knowing that I'm without Xavien Howard, knowing that the Chiefs have one wide receiver that eats up the lion's share of their targets at wide receiver, especially knowing that, you know, we're potentially out with safeties, or if they do play, they're going to be banged up and less than 100%. I'm taking Jalen Ramsey, and I'm, you know, as much as possible, shadowing Rashee Rice. And then I'm...
Interesting. You're putting Ramsey on Rice, not on Kelce.
Yeah, because I think that it's easier to double Travis Kelce. I think it's easier to play bracket coverage, zone, and do things with multiple guys on Travis Kelce, who's mostly going to be lined up in line or in the slot. So I think it's, and you may see Ramsey here and there if like Kelce does line up in the slot. I think it might make sense at times to put Ramsey on Kelce in certain situations, but I'd be more concerned and protect my other corners and say, I'm not going to let Rashid Rice have a field day against Eli Apple or Kader Kohou. Like, if Rashid Rice is going to go off, it's going to be because he's beating Jalen Ramsey. And I like the Dolphins' chances in that matchup. And then I'm doubling Kelce with linebackers, with safeties, with corners, you know, with different matchups. What that could do is it could make you susceptible to other guys. It means guys like Kader Kohou and Eli Apple, they have to do the response. They have to live up to the responsibility of covering less than receivers. I feel like they should be able to do that. I feel like they should be able to cover Kadarius Toney and Tristan Watson. But it also means a guy like Isaiah Pacheco coming out of the backfield, a Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming out of the backfield. Do those guys become major parts of the Chiefs' game plan offensively? And you need to stop the run. I think if you don't stop the run and you put them in behind the sticks, or you get behind the sticks defensively to where the Chiefs are in like third and manageable situations, then I think it becomes easier for the Chiefs to say, well, I don't care if Travis Kelce is covered. I can get the ball. I can force the ball to Travis Kelce for a 4-yard reception for a first down. And that's where it becomes dangerous. But if the Dolphins can stop the run, I feel pretty confident that they're going to be able to stop the pass if they do that against those guys.
I think that's probably a pretty sound way for the Dolphins to approach it. And hopefully with their big fronts with Sealer and Christian Wilkins, they're able to gum up the works and slow down the Chiefs' running game as well. I think if you can figure out a way to keep, you know, Pacheco under 50 yards in this game and you can slow down Travis Kelce, I think you're going to be okay. I mean, the X factor with the Chiefs, of course, is always Patrick Mahomes, because he's one of those guys. I think we talked about this in the last episode. We talked about how in the NFL, there are about 4 or 5 quarterbacks out there who are elite, game-changing quarterbacks because they have the ability at any moment to pull something out of a hat to make a play happen, even when there shouldn't be a play to be made. And Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys, whether that's finding somebody somewhere on the field that he can get the ball to or doing it with his legs. This is a guy that knows how to make things happen off schedule. And that's something that the Dolphins are going to have to account for as well. You know, this is, I don't know that Mahomes is necessarily a guy that you're spying a lot of the time, but it's something that you're going to have to be aware of, is that he does have the ability to beat you with his legs from time to time. So that's the other thing. But if you can make it where he's trying, and that's what he needs to do to try to beat you, is he has to try to play hero ball, I think that's probably going to work in the Dolphins' favor, given what the weather conditions are going to be in this game, Bren.
Yeah, well, so, I think he'll get his. He'll have some plays where he scrambles.
He always seems to.
I think ultimately, like it is in any big game, you need your big-time players to step up. And you especially need your big-time players to step up when you have guys that are down with injuries. And what we saw last week was that Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer stepped up. I'm fully expecting those guys to do it again. I think those guys will be the biggest factor in whether or not this Dolphins defense has success. I'm not expecting the Dolphins defense to go out and, you know, hold the Chiefs to 200 yards and 10 points or anything like that. But the Chiefs may move the ball, but can those guys step up and make a play? Can they get off the field on third down? Can they put them behind the sticks because of a big tackle for a loss? Like, that's what you need. You just need your big time players to step up. And I think when you look at it realistically, with Xavien Howard out and Chubb out and Phillips out and even Van Ginkle out, possibly Holland out. There's three guys. There's Christian Wilkins, there's Zach Sealer, and there's Jalen Ramsey. You need to ask these guys to have Herculean efforts. Now's the time.
Yep. That's what they got to do. And if you can force some turnovers, win the turnover battle in this game, this seems like the kind of game where something like that is going to play a big role. So if you can force some turnovers and hold on to the ball yourself, you're going to have a chance to win. All right, Brain, it's time for one hot take. So let's get down to it. This is where we ask you to tell us what you think is going to happen in this game. We want one take. What is one hot take that you have for Dolphins at Chiefs this Saturday on Peacock? Stop complaining. Pay $6. Get Peacock. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear about, I don't want to pay, oh, the NFL, oh, they're making me pay $6 to watch a playoff game. Get off my lawn, herby derby derby. Shut your mouth, pay the $6, and watch the game. You're all, if you're listening to this podcast and you're complaining about having to pay $6 to watch a single playoff game. I didn't hear people complaining when ESPN decided they weren't going to put the games on ABC and instead put the game on ESPN. Did you complain then? That's not free.
People complained, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, you got to pay a lot more money to get ESPN than you do to have to get Peacock. So shut your mouth and stop whining to have to pay six. And that's the other thing. If you wanted to get ESPN, not only do you have to pay more than $6? You have to commit to like a year-long contract. You got to pay a lot of money to get ESPN. For Peacock, you can pay $6. You watch the game, you cancel, and you're done. So stop whining about, oh, I got to pay $6. The NFL is so greedy and blah, blah, blah. Are you new to America? That's how it works. Imagine thinking that some enormous corporation in the United States of America is gonna do something out of the just because they feel good and they love their fans, and we're just gonna give you something for free. No, of course not. Jeez Louise, pay the $6 and shut up about it. Okay. My one hot take for Dolphins at Chiefs is that a lot of these people complaining about paying $6 are going to pay $6 anyway. but really, Brain, what is your one hot take for Dolphins at Chiefs on Peacock?
My one hot take. This doesn't feel like a hot takey kind of game, but I'm going to say that the Dolphins are going to fake. They're going to fake a kick in this game.
Oh, that's a good.
I don't know if it's going to be a field goal or a punt. I'm going to say that the Dolphins are going to fake a kick. It's not great conditions to kick. So, like, if you get the right situation, right place on the field, right down in distance, I feel like it could be an opportunity to fake a kick. And I think it's going to work. The Dolphins are going to fake a kick, and it's going to work. That's my hot take.
I like it. I like that very much. Okay. Well, let's see what some of the people had to say. I'm over here. The Navarone Gun, our good friend Patrick, says no Dolphin player will get frostbite. That's good. Here's one from Adam Schultz. He says we put Tyreek on a punt return and he scores. I like that. Here's one from Wiggler81. Pacheco is held to less than 40 yards rushing. I like that. Here's one from NorCal Fins and Suns fan in almost direct opposition to Patrick Mullen. He says at least one fan is rushed to the hospital with frostbite. Here's one from Tyson Copsey. Bruce Irvin or Justin Houston will create or force a turnover. I like it. Here's one from Chris Buston. Chris is a big fan and a great supporter of the program. But Chris says the Dolphins finally play well, but no one actually sees it because the game is exclusive to Peacock. Well, we'll see.
That's not true. It is being played locally on NBC.
Yes, in Miami and Kansas City, it is going to be airing on your NBC affiliate. Let's see. Peyton underscore Poe says 400 combined rushing yards, 250 to 150. Here's one from Psych Effect. They say, if Mike McDaniel could just let go of the need to push the offense and play the game as it comes to him, the Miami Dolphins would have a real good shot this weekend. All right. I like it. How about this one from Wes? From Wes, on the last play, Tua throws a fade to the corner of the end zone. Dolphins win.
The ultimate FU.
Yeah, that would be unbelievable. Let's see. Here's one from Jason Smith. Smythe with a game-winning TV. Not TV, TD. TD. And one for, how about our good friend, the Dolphins end zone? Dolphins shock the world and win 3-0.
No way. He's picking the Dolphins to win this game?
Picking the Dolphins
to win?
That's
the hottest take that we've
seen. That is a scalding take from Dolphins end zone. Let's see what we got here in the chat. Let's see. I've got, here's one from Brad Keel. Ramsey game-saving interception. Golski, the rare live appearance from Golski here. Achan lights it up and gives us hope, but Tua throws a red zone pick six and ends the season. Woof. Here's one from Chris Petit. Mike McDaniel calls more run plays than pass plays. And, oh, here. Chris Petit. After I said it wrong. Unbelievable. Chris Petit. I am sorry, Chris. The hashtag one hot take was McDaniel calls more run plays than pass plays. And then he says in the comment, and the name is Chris Petit, not Petit, as I said it when I first read it. Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. Oh, my goodness.
Classic.
Who's producing this show? Let's see. Here's one from Leon Wilson. We're going to sack Mahomes 3 times. Let's see. We got any other one? Here's one. From John, Achan goes over 150. And let's see, what else we got here? Yeah, then we got mine. Because listen, this might be my last chance to do this year. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it again. Alec Ingold receiving touchdown. Sauce it. Let's go. So there it is. That's our one hot take. So now, Brain, the only thing left to do is make a prediction. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, Brain's going to go first, making his prediction. And everybody in the chat, throw your thoughts in the chat. Put them in the comments. If you're watching the video after the fact, let us know in the comments. What do you think the final score of this game is going to be? Brain, take it away.
I think this thing's going to be ugly. Nobody wants to play in 0-degree weather.
Nobody.
And I think, for being real about it, like, the Chiefs, look, Patrick Mahomes is great, but he's not immune. He's not perfect. Like, without weapons, he's had a good season, but he hasn't been great, and the Chiefs have struggled to score points.
Yeah, he's got the Kansas City Chiefs version of having Preston Williams, Devontae Parker, and Jakeem Grant as his wide receivers.
Yeah, it's not a good receiving core, and it's a receiving core that's let them down over and over and over again. It's not like they are some powerhouse running team either. Look, Mahomes is going to make some plays. They're going to get some first downs. They're going to put some points on the board. Like, you're going into this game extremely shorthanded, and hopefully Holland and Elliott can find a way to play and that eases things a little bit. But regardless, you're going in shorthanded. But you are also, if Holland and Elliott play, let's be real about it, you were basically almost as shorthanded against Buffalo, and Buffalo's offense is a lot better. And you held them to 14 points. Granted, Buffalo left a lot of points out there. But this is the kind of Kansas City offense that's probably going to leave some points out there too. I think your big money guys on defense need to step up. And on the offensive side of the ball, you're going to be, look, I hope Waddle plays. Even if he's not 100%, I think it's important. I think it really helps the offense. I think you know, I think Mostert's going to play, but if Mostert doesn't play, I think you can mitigate that because Achan's been so good and you still have Wilson. I think you could still have a great running game even if Mostert doesn't play. But if Mostert does play, I think gives you the advantage of being able to play Mostert and Achan on the field at the same time, along with Tyreek and Waddle, which is when this offense is at its most dangerous. There's a lot of reasons why I would pick the Dolphins to win this game. I actually think the more I've thought about this game logically, I believe the Dolphins should win this football game. But the body of work of this football team this season has given me no faith that they're going to beat a really good team, particularly on the road, particularly a seasoned championship proven quarterback and coach.
The literal defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, I have no faith that they're going to do that, so I can't pick them to win. But I'm not going to be shocked if they do. I think this is a close game. I think their defense steps up. I don't think this team's just going to fold, but I think they're going to fall short in an ugly, close game, 27-23.
Mm. So you're saying that if the Dolphins could score four touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually think this is going to be the kind of game where it's actually like there's a feeling out process where it's kind of close and it's kind of looks like it's going to be a race to 20. And then at some point in the second half, they're going to kind of get acclimated to the weather and it's just going to turn into a regular football game. And they're going to say, look, our season's on the line and both teams are going to start moving the ball. And it's going to end up, you know, being a little bit higher scoring than most pick.
Well,
but yeah, if they score four touchdowns, they win. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. How about that? Here's what I think. I am completely at peace coming into this game. There was a time that I think I probably would have been really, really nervous and really pumped up about this game, and really thinking about all of the positive implications of going into Kansas City and getting a big win. But I think based on the performances that we've seen from this team the last couple of weeks and the mounting injury issues that they're having, and quite frankly, the very real possibility that they could be without Javon Holland, Deshaun Elliott, Jalen Waddle on Saturday, I'm at a place where I just have no expectation that the Dolphins win this game. I think everything in my body is telling me that the Dolphins are going to go out there and lose this game on Saturday night. That doesn't mean I don't think that the Dolphins can win, that the Dolphins could win. And this certainly doesn't mean that I'm not going to be screaming my head off and swearing at the television and going nuts and cheering, you know, the way that I do for any other game. But I just think at this point, because of how things have played out, because of the mounting health concerns with this team, because of the fact that it's going to be played in the cold, and quite frankly, based on the body of evidence of what this team has put out there on the field when it has come to big games and big opportunities to change the narrative, how often this team has failed to come up and failed to answer the bell in those scenarios, I think I have a very hard time expecting the Dolphins to win this game. So while I would very much love for the Dolphins to win this game, I think they're ultimately going to fall short in this one. And I believe that it's going to be something like Kansas City's going to win this game, something like 27-19, I think is going to be your final score. And the Dolphins are going to come home and they're going to be deflated, and we're going to have a long, frustrating offseason. And you know what? It's going to be a lot of people are going to be upset, and a lot of people are going to be annoyed by the stories that are dominating the offseason. And all I'm going to say to those people is you're going to have to deal with it because the Dolphins haven't earned turning those narratives off. If they win this game, maybe things change. But otherwise, those narratives exist for reasons. Mike McDaniel says it's not like those narratives were made up. They're real, you know? But there's also something else, Brain. 2008, Miami Dolphins hosted a playoff game. I don't remember what the name of the stadium was at that moment, but the Dolphins hosted a playoff game, and you and I were there in person. In fact, I recently tweeted out the photo of us at that game. And Brain, I know that there are people out there who are looking for that optimism, looking for that boost, looking for whatever that's going to give them the energy that they need to listen to this podcast and then go out and cheer for the Dolphins. Well, especially if you're watching this on YouTube, this one's for you, because in 2008, there was a message that the Dolphins sent out to everybody. And that message was quite simply, the wait is over. Believe in now. 2008 playoffs.
Look at that logo.
That's the worst logo the Dolphins have ever. Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
What do you say?
I think the current logo is the worst.
The current logo is worse than the early 2000s logo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Either way, that's it. So if you're looking for that optimism, the wait is over. Believe in now. Because if you don't believe in now, you're not going to have much to believe in until next season. And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm kind of not believing in now. But I would love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong. And then I cannot believe in now for another week. And then who knows? Maybe that would work too. And then if that keeps happening, then I'll just stop believing altogether until the Dolphins lose. But, you know, listen. So let's hope for the best. Let's hope that the Miami Dolphins can figure out a way to go into Kansas City and come up big and surprise us. Because quite frankly, for me, I would be surprised if the Dolphins won this game based on their behavior over the last, you know, this full season of these big games. But hey, I'd love to be wrong, but it is what it is. So Brain, that's going to wrap us up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. You got any parting words for the people before we get out of here?
Just win this game and you salvage the season. If things break right and you end up playing Cleveland or Houston next week, then, you know, we could start to get excited again about the possibility of how far this team can go. But 1 week at a time, win a playoff game, man. I mean, I'm so tired of, like, we haven't won a playoff game since the Clinton administration.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice to not have to say that?
Yeah.
So.
Now's your opportunity. Believe in now.
Believe in now, Miami. Believe in now, Dolphins. Just win a playoff game. Or don't. Whatever. It's going to certainly make our show interesting this offseason if the Dolphins don't win a playoff game again. But I want to make it clear that that's not what I want to happen.
Well, let me just add on to that real quick before we wrap this up.
Jesus.
Because you know how these things work. If the Dolphins win this game, it's going to be about how the Chiefs were a fraud all along.
Oh, yeah.
And then if the Dolphins get their doors blown in, people will be like, oh, great. You beat like Chiefs on like the worst team that they've had in like a decade. And then you got your doors blown in, like, big whoop.
Listen, if the Dolphins beat the Chiefs, I don't care who the Dolphins beat. The Dolphins win this game with my wife at outside linebacker. That's tremendous. You know? That's big. That's a great win. And let's don't, there's no, I don't want to hear anybody say anything to the contrary. If the Dolphins win this game on Saturday, that is a huge win, regardless of who they beat. on the condition that this team is in and what it will do for this quarterback and this head coach. If they win this game, it's enormous. Okay? No mistaking that. So, that said, believe in now. Thank you for listening. We will be back on Monday, recapping the game, talking to you, letting you know our thoughts, one way or the other. But until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
Herbie Derby Derby.